بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is a kitab which is titled Anwar al-Salah. In this slot normally we do the various aspects of Salah from 11 o'clock till Zohar Adhan, 12:30. So one is the fiqhi masail of Salah, this is discussed. The fazail and the virtues of Salah, that is also read in the fazail amal. The tajweed, the recitation of Quran Sharif also takes place. And this Anwar al-Salah, this is to bring ruh, to bring life into the salah of a person. If a person, he wants to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that salah that he performs, it must have life in it. Then a person will reach his destination. Like you say, like a person that has bought a jet. So he's got the best jet, millions of friends, he paid for that jet. But he doesn't know how to fly that jet. So that jet is useless. But if he had taken a course, he learned how to fly that jet, then in no time he will reach his destination thousands of kilometers. Person flies the plane from here in 7 hours, he's in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So exactly the same way, we all want to reach Allah Ta'ala. That is why everyone has come here. So if we perform a salah, a perfect salah, concentration, devotion in our salah, then this will assist a person in reaching Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is actually a bayan of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we have started the first lesson of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. In the first lesson, he emphasizes on the greatness of salah. What is the position of salah? And he says that salah is such an ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he says that every makhluk and every creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they in salah. He says to the extent that the trees and the buildings that we have, they also in one posture of salah. And they are in the qiyam, they in the standing posture of salah. Salah, salah. The animals that you get, the four-legged animals, then these animals, they in the ruku posture. All the time, their whole life, they will be in ruku. And the earth and the mountains that we have around us, they also in the posture of salah, they in the qada posture. This is the qada posture. So they in the qada posture. And forever, they will be like that till the day of qiyamah. The stars and the heavens, that they are moving all the time. So similarly, a person when he is performing salah, then he is moving. Sometimes he is in qiyam, sometimes he is in ruku, sometimes he is in sajda. So that is day salah. And the farishta and the malaika of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are also in salah. In the sense that these malaika, that one is they are clean, they are in taharat all the time. And for a person to perform salah, he has to be in the state of taharat. The malaika, they are those that are making the tasbih of Allah ta'ala, which we make in salah. Some are making the tahmeed of Allah, the takbir of Allah, all this we do in salah. Some are reciting kalima shahadat, some are in tilawat of Quran, some are in dua. So all these aspects, this is the salah of the malaika. But for the human being, the two rakats of namaz that he performs, he has got the ibadat of every makhluk of Allah. Every creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his two rakats, he got the ibadat. Similarly, a person that performs his 5-time namaz, he gets the reward of zakat. He is discharging zakat also. Why? Because when he performs his salah, then he has to have water to make wudu. And that water is not free of charge. A person has to pay for the water. A person has to wear appropriate clothing by which the satr, the private part of a person, is concealed. So for that he has to pay. He has to buy those clothing. So he gets the reward of zakat. A person that is in salah, he gets the reward of hajj, because he has to face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif, in the direction of Baytullah. A person when he moves in the various postures of salah, this ulama say this is like he's making sa'i, he's running between Safa and Marwa. When you're moving from the standing posture to ruku to sajda, this is like running between Safa and Marwa. And when a person says the takbir at tahrima, when he says Allahu Akbar, 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 this is like a person that is putting on the ihram now to perform hajj. So in salah, a person gets the reward of hajj. In salah, a person gets the reward of fasting, of roza. Because that which was halal before salah, now that food, in salah you cannot eat. The drink was halal before salah. Now in salah, a person cannot drink anything. A person has to control himself in every aspect of salah that his thoughts do not wander about. So this is roza. And in salah, a person, he gets the reward of jihad. In jihad, because in salah, when a person is performing salah, shaitan puts his wasawis, takes your thought away. sometime on some business, sometime on some holiday. Now when a person becomes conscious, I'm in salah, so he pushes those thoughts away. So it's a continuous effort. So this is jihad. And ensuring that a person, he performs his salah in the sunnah time. Not that he reads it after the time or in the makruh time, but in the sunnah time. For this also a person has to make effort, that he has to ensure that he's there on time and he performs his salah with jamaat. So he says, in this, he gets the reward of jihad. So thereafter, as it also mentioned, he says, but in salah, the heart of a person has to be present when he is performing salah. That is the condition. He says, depending on how much of concentration you got in salah, how much your heart is present in salah, according to that will be your reward. Some people, their reward will be 50%, somebody will be 33%, somebody 25%, somebody 10%, depending on how much of concentration there is in salah. Now he says there are different types of concentration. We'll continue from this point. He says, ek ye ke mazmoon har rukan ka khyal kare. That in every posture of salah, a person should think a little bit about the subject matter, that what he is reciting in this posture of salah. Aur aap ko samne apne rab ke jaane. Aur isko mutawajjih hal apne ka samjhe. That a person should think that when I'm standing in salah, I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala. This will bring that concentration in salah. That I'm standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's attention is fully on me at this time. Aur joon si surat pare, mazmoon usi surat ka khyal kare. When you read some surah, whatever surah of the Quran you're reading, just think of the translation of the subject matter, what is being recited in this particular rakat. If I'm reading Surah Fatiha in every rakat, then think of Surah Fatiha. What is the meaning? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Think of that meaning. Agar maqam itab aur ghussa ka hai, khauf kare. And if it's a place where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is reprimanding somebody, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is in a state of, so to say, anger, then a person should fear or panah chahe and seek protection from Allah Ta'ala. So when he will come across those verses of the anger of Allah, the reprimand of Allah, then fear should come into a person and a person should seek protection from Allah. Or jo maqam rahmat aur inayat ka hai. And those verses of the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala speaks of His rahmat, of showering His bandas, His servants, isko khuda se talab kare, or that a person should seek from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Or iske siwa, or iske aur bhi baate hai, and there are other things also. Or de waste khas ki hai, na waste aam ki. This is what we are discussing, that pondering over the verses of the Quran, knowing the meaning of the Quran, asking for jannat, seeking protection from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, etc. He says that this is for those people that are khawaz, those that know the meaning of the Quran, the ulama, etc. This is not for every person who does not know the meaning of Quran Sharif. Or huzuri baghair ta'sir dil ke muyassar nahi. So he says that for a person, for the heart to be present in salah, he says without the heart being affected, this is not possible. And how is the heart of a person affected? This is affected when a person does a cause on zikrullah, which we discussed in detail. A person has to do the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This will soften the heart. In the Quran also Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. That person, Allah Ta'ala opens his bosom, opens his heart for Islam, then he is upon nur from the side of his Rabb. And then Allah Ta'ala, so there Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned there are three signs that Allah Ta'ala has opened the heart of a person. The first sign, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, At-tajafi an daril ghurur, that a person, he turns away from this dunya. This dunya of deception, his heart turns away from dunya, he's disinclined from dunya. Wal-inabatu ila daril khulud, and a person, his attention now is towards akhirat. Wal-isti'adadu lil-maut qabla nuzulihi, and before death comes, he prepares for death. That is the indication Allah has opened the heart of a person. Then Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Woe, destruction to those hearts that have become hard from the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. They don't make the zikr of Allah. So when the zikr of Allah will be made, then the heart will become soft. And when the heart becomes soft, then there will be now effect on that heart. So he says that this presence in namaz, that you concentrate in salah, this will only happen when the heart becomes soft. When there's effect on the heart. Or تأثير دل کے بدون دانست معانی الفاظ کے حاصل نہیں ہوتی. He says that if the heart hasn't become soft, and you're going to read the verses of the Quran, then the meaning of the words of the Quran will have no effect on the heart. When the heart is soft, now the verses of Quran will have effect on the heart. But when the heart is hard, then the verse of the Quran will have no effect on the heart. اسی واسطے جو کچھ نماز میں ہے معنی اس کے ہندی زبان میں محاورہ کے موافق لکھے ہے. says for this reason, that whatever we read in namaz, he says this should be written down in the Hindi language. Obviously this was written in India, the kitab, so that is why they say in the Hindi language. But for us, whatever we're going to read in salah, this should be written in English for us. And then a person should try and learn this. For example, when I sit and I read the tashahud, so what is the meaning of the tashahud? I'm reading Durood Ibrahim. What is the meaning of Durood Ibrahim? When I'm reading Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, what is the meaning of Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? All this a person should know. So when the heart is firstly corrected through Zikrullah, and then a person reads this, this will have an effect on the heart. Aksar gharib log, jo in maano se mutlak bekhabar hai, samaj ke hudur-e-dil se namaz guzare aur bahut se halawat paave. He says many, many people that they don't know, they are unaware of the meaning. Generally, they don't know the meaning. So these people now, if they will learn this, they will understand what they are reading, then they will perform their salah with consciousness, the heart will be present. And they will get the enjoyment of salah. That is the one benefit of it. That you will perform salah when you know the meaning of what you're reading, your heart will now be present, you will perform salah with consciousness. And secondly, you will get a lot of enjoyment in your salah because you know what you are saying. You are now in conversation with Allah Ta'ala. Many places they make dua. We find that the dua is made loudly. No problem, dua can also be made loudly. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said ameen to the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala said, qala qad ujibat da'watukuma, that the both of you made dua, your dua has been accepted. But the effect of that dua of Musa alayhi salam, when he saw it was accepted same time. But the effect of that dua, he saw it after 40 years. He was a Nabi of Allah, but he saw the effect of his dua after 40 years. So from your ulama proof that see, Musa al-Islam made the dua. And Allah Ta'ala says that both of you, Musa and Harun, your dua has been accepted. Harun al-Islam said Ameen. So that means the dua was made loudly. That is why he could say Ameen. So that dua, that is also acceptable. And the second is where dua is made softly. Quran also says many places, Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufiya. That with humbleness, with secrecy, quietly a person should make dua. Zakariya al-Islam is nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. That very secretly, silently, Zakariya al-Islam made dua to Allah Ta'ala. So both types of duas are acceptable. But many a times the dua is made, the imam is making the dua. All the musallis are saying ameen. But they don't know what the imam is saying in that dua. They don't know the meaning of that dua. So when the dua is made loudly, first the congregation should be educated. What is the meaning of the dua? So when they say ameen, they know what they're saying ameen to. Otherwise, if you make it softly, then whatever dua is in your heart, whatever need you have at that time, that is the need that you ask from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is dua. What is in the heart? What is your need? That comes out of the heart and you ask Allah Ta'ala and that dua is accepted. So here also he's saying that one is a person, he reads. He doesn't know the meaning. But when he knows the meaning, and now he will read, now he'll be conscious of what he is saying. And he'll get enjoyment also. Or ek fayda aur hai. There's another benefit also. Agar mana alfaz ke jane, to sab bure kamon se jin se nuksan iman ka hai bache. Another benefit is this, when a person he knows the meaning of what he is reading, then all those evil actions by which the iman of a person is affected, which brings harm to the iman of a person, he will refrain, he will stay away from this. For example, in the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will mention about speaking lies, that la'natullahi ala al-kazibin, that the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is upon the liars. So now if a person knows what I am reading, that the curse of Allah ta'ala is upon the liars, now a person, he will refrain, that in namaz I'm saying Allah's curse is on the liars. And if I'm speaking lies, that means I'm cursing myself. So now he will refrain from that, he will stay away from that. So this is another benefit. As we know, this is such a thing, that lies is such a thing, that people don't even regard it as a guna anymore. Person, he just goes to the doctor, and he hasn't gone to work. So he just tells the doctor, make out a certificate that, you know what, I wasn't well, and for the whole week I won't be well. But he knows that that's not the reality. So he doesn't even consider that as a lie. Sometimes a person, he's going to apply for a job. So we know the person is suffering, he doesn't have a job 5 months, 6 months, now he needs a job. But the place where he has applied for a job, they say, you know what, bring a reference letter from someone. So now he comes to you, so he says, give me a reference letter. So in that reference letter, you are right there, what a good person, what an honest person, and you know him for the last 20 years. Whereas in reality, it's not true. You don't know the person. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala, one person praised another person in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, Did you do any business transaction with this person? He said, no, I didn't do any business transaction. He said, did you make safar? Did you travel with this person? He said, no, I didn't make safar. I didn't travel. Umar radiallahu anhu said, you don't know the man. The reality of a person will open up when you do business with him. When you travel with a person, then the reality opens up. So how much you know, that you must say. For example, he's a musalli in your masjid. You see him there 5 times a day. So that much you know, that much you can say. But over and above that, a person cannot say. Now many a time we're writing things that we don't know. That's a lie. And what we think in our mind, that you know what, his work will get done, I'll get sawab. Where is the sawab? There is guna. The person is in guna over here. So that's what he's saying. So when you know the meaning, then now you know that the curse of Allah is on the liars, you will stay away from that. Or maloom kare ke jo iqrar apne rab ke samne kiya hai, usi par qaim rahe. And a person should know that the confessions that he made in namaz before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will remain upon that. For example, in namaz, we staying in Surah Fatiha. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah, only you I will make ibadat of. And it is only you that I will seek help from. I will seek assistance from. So here you are making confession to Allah Ta'ala. That only you, Allah, I will seek assistance from. Now when you're outside the masjid, a person has got a problem, whether it's in a business, whether it is some health problem, or any other problem that he's got. In namaz, you told Allah Ta'ala, I'll only ask from you. I'll only seek assistance from you. Now there we go somewhere else. So that confession that you make, now you know the meaning. So you know what you read, what you're reading. So after namaz also you'll remain upon that. That I told Allah Ta'ala I will seek assistance from him, I will make 2 rakat and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. A person said, read in namaz, alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. I put my trust upon Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of the great arsh. So in namaz you are saying, I put my trust in Allah. Now when you're outside the masjid, and now a person needs something, he doesn't put his trust on that insurance company, that if my car has to meet in an accident, then where am I going to go? Or in that medical insurance, if I get sick, who is going to treat me? Today you cannot get treatment. So then a person, he won't put his trust in that. Why? Because in namaz, he confessed, Wallah, I put my trust on you. Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for me. Allah will take, alayhi sallahu bikafin abda. Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? So that's what he's saying, when you know the meaning, so a person will stay away from guna. The confessions that he makes in namaz, what he reads, he'll remain upon that. Aur har ek talib e iman ko laik hai ki haqeeqat e namaz ki is taur par jane, that it is for every person of iman, it is appropriate for him that he understands the reality of namaz in this way, that this is how namaz is. Ki Hazrat Haq ne mujhko tamam paidaish mein behtar paida karke bari taqeed se waaste hazir hone darbar ke 5 waqt izne mutlaq diya. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created me the best from the entire creation. Insan, Allah has created the best. So understand your namaz in this way. That Allah ta'ala has created me the best in the entire creation. And after creating me, insan, as the best creation from everyone, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with emphasis has given me general permission that come to my house, come to my court 5 times a day. So one is Allah made me the best. After making me the best, Allah has emphasized, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given permission, come to the masjid, come to my house 5 times a day. Aur muhtaj awar ke izan ka aur ihsan man kisi darban ya naqib ka nahi kiya. Allah didn't make me in need of the permission of some person who will do some favor and allow me to come into the masjid, or some guard, I need to take his permission and come in the masjid. No, you need to go see the president, how much of red tape, how many people you have to pass, and how many ministers perhaps you have to pass, and then too there's no guarantee you'll see the president. Or some senior official you want to meet, how much of problems you go through just to meet that official. But for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the king of all kings, Allah didn't make us in need to take permission from anyone to come into the masjid. No guard is sitting at the door, we need his permission. Allah ta'ala has emphasized, you come to the masjid 5 times a day. Aur ghair haziri par wada sakt azab ka farmaya. And then on top of that, not only did Allah ta'ala tell me come to the masjid, if you don't come to the masjid, then there's severe warnings for you also. There is severe warning. This is like a father, he has his children, so he gives his children, they want to get married, all of them, one by one, he gets them married. He sets them up in life, he gives each one a house, he gives them a car, now they all set in life. Now whatever the father got remaining by him, he says, right, this particular weekend, all of you all must come home. And when you all come home, whatever I got, this I'm going to distribute amongst all my children equally. So he calls them home, but he says to them at the same time that if you don't come home, then I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you a share from what I'm giving everyone else. So understand it exactly the same way. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us everything. And then Allah says, now come to my house. But if you don't come to my house, then I'm going to punish you. اور جاننا چاہیے کہ ایسی نعمت عظمہ سے محروم رہنا اور وعدہ سخت عذاب کا سر پر لینا بڑی نادانی اور کمینہ پن ہے. He says that understand this much, that now to be deprived, when Allah has called us with so much of love in this way, to be deprived of such a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for a person to take this severe punishment, this promise of a severe punishment on his head, he ignores the call of Allah ta'ala. And this severe punishment that he has been warned about, he's prepared to take it on his head. He says this is foolishness. And this is that a person is absolutely low. He's absolutely low. He's got nothing in him. He's got no value in him. That is why he turns away from the salah. بس اسی طرح عظمت نماز کی خوب سمجھ کر تمام آداب کے لائق قبولیت بارگاہ بادشاہ حقیقی کے ہوئے بجا لاوے. He says now after understanding the greatness of namaz in this way, he says implement all those آداب, all those etiquettes that will make that salah of yours worthy of yours, worthy of yours, worthy of acceptance. After you understood that salah is such a great thing, how Allah Ta'ala is calling me to the masjid, how Allah Ta'ala wants me to perform salah, you don't need the permission of anyone also. And if you don't come, I'm warning you also. Now after understanding all this, he says, now implement and bring those etiquettes which will take your salah into the court of acceptance. Pehle taharat aur paakizgi kare. First a person should cleanse himself, he should purify himself. Yani wudu kare. Aur jo hajat nahane ki ho, ghusl kare. And when a person needs to take a ghusl, then he must take a bath. جیسا کہ کوئی جب بادشاہ کے دربار کے جانے کا ارادہ کرتا ہے پہلے حمام کرتا ہے. When a person he wants to go to some king, he doesn't just go to the king. But what does he do? He takes a bath. He cleanses himself. And then he goes to the king. پھر کپڑا پہن کے جاتے ہیں. Then he takes a bath, he wears his clothing and then he goes. حضرت مولانا ابرار احمد صاحب دلیوی رحمت اللہ علیہ, great عالم of deen, and he was the murid of Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Before he used to go to the majlis of Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had so much of respect for his sheikh. First he should take ghusl. He shouldn't just go like that. He should take a ghusl and then he used to go to the sohbat of his sheikh, so he can take maximum benefit. Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh, when he wrote his Bukhari Sharif, when he should write the hadith, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah also he take ghusl, read namaz, and then he will start writing the hadith. So here also he says that a person before coming in the court of Allah, you need wudu, take wudu. A person he needs ghusl, take ghusl. So this is the first bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. Now he gives the summary of it. He says Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh ki is bayan mein char baatein hai. In this bayan of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, there are four things. Awwal, namaz ki ahmiyat jisko bar bar par kar dil mein bithana hai. He says what is the importance of namaz? Understand how important namaz is in the life of a Muslim, which a person must now read again and again about the importance of namaz and bring this in the heart. جس کے لئے حضرت شیخ الحدیث رحمت اللہ علیہ کا رسالہ فضائل نماز کا مطالعہ بھی مفید ہے. It says for which a person can read the book of حضرت شیخ الحدیث مولانا محمد زکریہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ, which is very beneficial. فضائل اعمال in the got فضائل صلاح, a person can read this from which he will get the importance of salah. So that's the first thing, that understand the importance of salah. For that, read the kitab of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh. Dom. Sab se pehle isko dil mein bar bar soche ke namaz ka hukam mere upar koi bojh ya tawa nahi hai. He says, firstly, a person should think in his heart that, and think about this again and again, that this command that I have to read namaz 5 times a day, this is not a burden upon me. This is not a penalty that Allah Ta'ala has put upon me, a burden that Allah Ta'ala has put upon me. Actually, Allah Ta'ala had made 50 namaz farz, 50 times a day. And Allah Ta'ala created us. So Allah Ta'ala has the full right to demand from us whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants. So if Allah's command was whole day, 50 times a day, you must only read namaz, that Allah Ta'ala has the right to do that. And if a person had to read 50 times a day namaz, every time we come to the masjid, person goes to a toilet, makes wudu, reads the sunnah, reads the farz, and thereafter again sunnah, and then he leaves the masjid, about half an hour he needs for every namaz. So if you multiply that now, 50 times half an hour, 25 hours. In other words, your whole day, 24 hours, a person should only be in salah. But Allah made it so easy that no problem, you read 5, I'll give you the reward of 50. So that's what he's saying, this is not a burden. Don't ever regard namaz as a burden upon you. بلکہ بہت بڑی نعمت اور احسان ہے جس کا شکریہ ادا نہیں ہو سکتا. In fact, namaz is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah's bounty, Allah's favor upon us that He has given us namaz. And He says, for this, a person cannot make shukr. That which Allah has made fard upon us, the most benefit is in that. And that which Allah has made haram upon us, the most harm is in that. That is why Allah Ta'ala has made it haram. So he says, this which Allah made farad upon us, this is a great ni'mat, Allah's kindness upon us. We cannot make enough shukr for that salah which Allah Ta'ala has given us. Ki Allah Jalla Shanuhu ne mujhe zarra be miqdar ko pehle ashraful makhlouqat banaya. That Allah Ta'ala has made me, I am useless, I am absolutely nothing. What the body is filled with? Only with filth, only with impurity. So this body, who is this person that is totally useless, anything that comes into our company, what happens to you? It becomes there. If a person goes to the showroom, he buys a brand new car. Now use that in that car, and you drove that car 50 kilometers. What happens? The brand new car was $500,000. You drove it 50 kilometers only. Same day you brought it back. 1 hour later you brought it back. That value is no more $500,000 now. Now the car owner will say, we'll give you maybe 460,000 for this car. 470,000, lost 30,000-40,000 rand. Just that half an hour drive. Why? It came in the company of this human being. This human being is such the food that we eat. If a person has to eat, if you look at any fruit, the banana, the apple, the mango, whatever, what a beautiful fruit. But after you eat that fruit, what happens now? The whole composition of that fruit has now changed. Now it is something else. Nobody wants to even take the smell of that. He wants to stay away from that. So that fruit came into our company. That biryani came into our company. What was the result of that biryani? Something else altogether. So he says that this human being that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made, I was absolutely useless, but Allah ta'ala made me ashraful makhlouqat. Phir apne darbar mein rozana 5 bar arz-e-ma'ruf karne aur apne hajat pesh karne ke liye haziri ki bari taqeed farmayi. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala emphasized to me that 5 times a day present yourself in my court. 5 times a day you come into the masjid. I was not masjid. Allah ta'ala made it necessary and compulsory on me. 5 times a day come to the masjid. And whatever your need is, whatever problem you have in your life, whatever you require, now put this request before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Aur jab ji chahe naflo mein haziri ka izn aam diya. And whenever your heart desires, Allah has given general permission. Nafil namaz, except those times that is not permissible to perform salah, sunrise, zawaq, at the time of sunset. Besides these times, whenever you want, you can read nafil namaz. And this nafil namaz also. Aur is hadiri mein kisi safarishi aur darban ka ihsan man nahi banaya. Allah Ta'ala didn't make you in need of some person to intercede that now let him read nafil namaz. Or there is some guard, now you must take permission and he will do a favor and allow you to read that nafil namaz. No, whenever you want, Allahu Akbar, you start your 2 rakats nafil namaz, you're in direct conversation with Allah tabarakawata. And Allah's office hours, of Hazrat says, Allah's office hours, 24 hours. In dunya, you go to any government office, they open 9 o'clock and they close 4 o'clock. And that too, when you go, when they open, what they say, the computers, they're still switching them on, they're still having their coffee. By the time they come to the front and they serve you, another half an hour is gone. And if you go there 3:30, they say, no, computers are shut down now, come back tomorrow. Office hour is 4 o'clock, 3:30, they'll turn you away from the door. Allah's office hours, 24 hours of the day. And if the best hours for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, person reaches nafil namaz, makes dua to Allah ta'ala, whatever need he has, that dua will be accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Here in dunya when you phone, now you want phoning a certain company, let's say for English press 1, for Afrikaans press 2, for this language press 3, Allah ta'ala, any language you ask, Allah ta'ala will listen to you. And that person that is dumb, he can't speak, Allah hears him even more loudly. And that person that is deaf, he'll hear Allah Ta'ala even more loudly. So all this Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we're not in need of anyone, we turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Aur meri tabi'i susti, jahalat aur khwahishat nafsi ke ghalaba waghaira se, jo ghair hazir hokar mahrumi ka sabab ban sakta tha, isse bachane ke liye sakh wa'ide aur azab ka i'lan farmaya. And then he tells that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned severe warnings and adab for that person that doesn't perform salah. Why? Because of his natural laziness, that the person becomes naturally lazy, or there's ignorance, or he's overpowered by his lust and desires, so busy fulfilling his lust and desires, he doesn't go for namaz. And because of which he can be deprived of this great ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For that person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned that there is severe warning for such a person. A person who is a wali of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned that a wali of Allah Ta'ala is that person. Sometimes the desire, when you become the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah Ta'ala, then sometimes a person, he feels lazy now. He's tired. He says, today I'm not going to the masjid. Today I'll read my namaz at home. I'm feeling tired. He is a special friend of Allah Ta'ala. So what Allah Ta'ala does, some mehman will come to his house. And how, when he'll come, for example, half an hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes before the adhan. Now when the adhan is going to go, what the mehman is going to say? Come, we're going to the masjid. Now he can't stay in the house, the mehman is there. So this is how Allah Ta'ala protects him. That you become the wali of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will take you away in the masjid in that way. Or somebody, for example, he wants to commit some guna, he wants to do some wrong. But he has become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. When he becomes a friend of Allah Ta'ala, he wants to do that wrong, and he's supposed to take his car and go. So now he went to start the car won't start. Now he's wondering what's wrong. Trying to fix it, can't get it right. Now that whole plan that he had, that whole plan went off. After the plan is gone off, the time has passed. Now he went in his car, one small little cable was loose or something, he just got the mechanic put that right, 2 minutes, and the car started. But so long we're having problem with this car. How Allah Ta'ala protects those people that become the awliya, become his friend. So that's what he's saying, that this azab that Allah Ta'ala has put, this is so that you are not deprived of this great ibadat of salah. That is why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has warned you that there is azab if you don't perform salah. Not as a punishment. The azab of Allah Ta'ala also, many times it is a rahmat. This is a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Ab mujhe jaan lena chahiye ke aisi ni'mat uzma aur mahboob haqeeqi ke karam se mahroom rehkar apne muhsin wa khaliq و مالک اور دنیا و آخرت کے چارہ احساس کو ناراض کر کے سخت عذاب کا مول لینا بڑی نادانی اور کمینہ پن ہے. Now I should understand this much, that for a person to be deprived of this great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala and the kindness of your true beloved, the true beloved is Allah Ta'ala, so to be deprived of the great ni'mat of Allah and the kindness of the true beloved of Allah Ta'ala. And for a person to displease that being who is your muhsin. Allah is our benefactor. Every ni'mat of Allah we enjoy from Him. Allah is our creator. Allah Ta'ala is our malik. And the one who is in charge of dunya and akhirat, to displease Him and to purchase this adab. He says this is real foolishness and the indication that a person is very, very low. He is very, very base. So he says this is the second lesson that we take from this bayan of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi. The third lesson. نماز میں دل کی حضوری جس کے حصول کا طریقہ تو بیان میں واضح ہے کہ کوشش کی جائے کہ نماز کے ہر رکن میں کم از کم کوئی لحظہ ضروری حضوری کا میسر آ جائے. He says that in namaz, for the heart, for the concentration to be there, for the heart to be present, he says the explanation how to attain this was clear in the bayan. He says this effort must be made that in every posture of namaz, when a person is a standing posture of namaz, then for one moment the heart should be conscious, it should be present, and a person should think of Allah Ta'ala. That when I'm in standing posture, for one moment the heart should be present. When a person goes into ruku, one time in ruku. When a person goes in sajda, at least one time in sajda, the heart of a person should be present, a person should think of Allah Ta'ala. Is huduri ki wadahat mein جو امور حضرت سید صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ نے تحریر فرمائی ہے, مثلا اپنے آپ کو اپنے رب کے سامنے جانے اور رب کریم کو اپنے حال پر متوجہ سمجھے. He says that for this presence, for this huzuri, that which حضرت شاہ احمد شہید رحمت اللہ علیہ has written, that you should think that you're standing in front of Allah, Allah's gaze on you, Allah's focus is on you. جو کچھ زبان سے پڑھ رہا ہے اس کے معنی کو جانے. What you are reading, understand the meaning of that. He said, اگر مضمون اللہ کریم کے غصہ و عتاب کا ہو تو دل ہی دل میں خوف کرے اور پناہ چاہے. When you're reading something, Allah Ta'ala is angry. In the verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala expresses His anger, then fear Allah Ta'ala and seek protection. اور جو مقام رحمت اور عنایت کا ہو تو دل ہی دل میں اس کے حصول کی تمنا اور آرزو کرے. And where is the place of the rahmat of Allah, Allah Ta'ala bestowing His favors, then a person in his heart, he should desire this, that Allah Ta'ala must give me this. اور نفلوں میں مشق کے دوران چاہیے اس کیفیت کے حصول کے لیے آیات کو بار بار پڑھنا پڑے. And he says that in the nafil namaz, whilst you are practicing, you're trying to get this concentration in salah, this condition of salah, he says there's no problem. You can repeat the verses of the Quran again and again. In your nafil namaz, where there are verses, for example, where Allah Ta'ala speaks of His rahmat, so read those verses again and again. And then in your heart now, desire that rahmat of Allah, that favor of Allah Ta'ala I want. Where it is of azab, a person can read this again and again in your nafil namaz. And there a person should practice now, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must protect us from that. So what he's saying, the third lesson that we take from here, that even for one moment, in every posture of salah, the heart of a person should be present. He should think of Allah Ta'ala at least once in every posture of salah, just for one moment. So that's the third. The fourth. یہ کہ نماز کی عظمت کو خوب سمجھنے کے بعد تمام آداب کیے بادشاہ حقیقی کے قبولیت کے لائق ہے ان کو بجا لائے. He says, after understanding the great position of namaz, how great namaz is, he says a person should implement all those adab and etiquette that will bring the salah to such a position that is now worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah. That would all the etiquette perform salah, so it is worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is very, very kind. In the previous time it is mentioned there was a particular king, and he was in Baghdad. So when people used to have a need in those days, when they used to go to the king, they used to take some hadiah, and they used to give the hadiah to the king. And then whatever the need was, they would present their need before the king. So the king will then fulfill whatever need they had. So one person, he was living in the jungle, in the outskirts, in the desert. So he thought to himself that, I also want to go and see the king in Baghdad, so and present my need to him. So he said that, how should I go to the king? What must I take? I'm living in the desert. So he thought to himself, thinking about the desert, that you can't get fresh water. So he said, let me take some fresh water, and I'll take this for the king. So he took some fresh water, he gathered it, and he put it in some type of a pitcher, and he closed it up. And now he had to travel all the way to Baghdad in the heat, so many days he had to travel. So when he came to the king, and he came to the court of the king, then he came and he presented this gift to the king. But when the king opened it, now it was water, now so many days in the heat, now there was a stench already that was coming out of that. So the king said, no problem. He told those ministers or his servants that were there, he says that this water that is dirty, throw it out now. It's got a smell, the smell, throw it out. And he says, fill this water now, fill this pitcher that he has brought with gold coins, and then give it to him. And then the king said that when you're taking him out of the city, now he's going to go back to the desert, he's from the desert. So he said, when you're taking him out, then take him in the boat under the palace. That here, the Tigris River, the Euphrates River, all is there in Iraq. So he says, take him under the palace and let him see this fresh water under the palace of the king. So when they took him out this way, he realized, what is the kindness of the king? That my water, I brought to that stench all the way from the desert. And that I presented. In place of that, he filled it up with coins, gold coins. And the water was present right under his palace over here. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we just have to take those few steps. Try to make Allah Ta'ala happy. And definitely in the court of Allah Ta'ala, nobody is rejected. Allah Ta'ala will accept it. So he says, bring those etiquettes which will make your salah worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is shakur. Alladhi yu'ati al-ajr al-jazeel ala al-amal al-qaleel. Allah Ta'ala gives big reward. You do a little bit of action, Allah Ta'ala will give you very great reward. In adab mein awwal darja, mein taharat aur paakizgi. He says that from all the etiquettes of salah that are required, first is that a person should be clean, taharat. Dusra, namaz ka tariqa, yani wuzu aur namaz ke fiqhi masail. Because the second thing is how to perform salah. The fiqhi masail, how to perform a proper wudu, that is why the masail are done here. You must know the masail of wudu and the masail of salah. Jo risala, ta'limul islam waghaira mein bayan kiye gaye hai. This has been mentioned in the kitab, ta'limul islam. In today's time we have the ta'limul haq. And there are many other kitabs of fiqh, which discuss these masail of wudu, of salah, etc. So study them there. Agar na malum ho, to pehle isko seek lo. Ha, jitne din isme lag jaye. If you don't know the masail of salah, if a person does not know the masail of wudu, then he says that first pay attention to that. That is more important. You must know how to make a proper wudu. Otherwise, if wudu is not done properly, somewhere you wash your hand, for example, your elbow is left dry, now your wudu is incomplete. When the wudu is not done properly, your namaz is going to be incomplete. Sometimes the ghusl of a person is incomplete. We get sometimes questions coming in the Darul Ihsan, where they ask, one lady, she asked, that for so many years, in the ear hole, when the earring was removed, the water has to be put in there as well. So many years of her life, ghusl janabat, she never put water in the ear hole. So her ghusl was incomplete. So now when the ghusl is not done, namaz is not done. If a person has to repeat 5 years of his namaz, 10 years of his namaz, it's not easy, it's difficult. So that's what Hazrat says over here also, that first learn the masail of namaz. Learn the masail of wudu. Irrespective of how long it takes, that is the first thing. If it takes a long time also, but get this sorted out. تاکہ نماز کے تمام فرائض و واجبات و مستحبات اور مفتدات و مکروحات خوب پہچانے. So that a person comes to know what is farz in namaz. A person knows what is wajib in namaz, what is mustahab in namaz, what will make his namaz invalid, what is disliked in namaz, all this he knows. So one farz is missed out in namaz. Namaz is invalid. A wajib of namaz, something Allah has made obligatory, wajib. If the wajib is left out intentionally, then to namaz is invalid. Even if a person makes sajda istahu in the end, doesn't rectify the salah because it was done intentionally. If a wajib is left out unintentionally, then a person makes sajda istahu, it rectifies the salah. What is mustahab in namaz? Mufsidat in namaz. Those things that corrupt your namaz. Something you did in namaz that broke your namaz. If a person doesn't know that he is reading namaz, but his namaz is broken. In fact, he had to repeat that namaz again. Those things that are makruh, not supposed to do in namaz. If a person does it, his namaz will be completed. But the sawab is going to be less. He's going to be sinful for that. So all this a person needs to know first. Taake is darja mein isko malhud rakhe. So that you keep that in its proper place. What is place? What is place? What is faraz? What is wajib? What is sunnat? Etc. Ye baate to suluk ikhtiyar karne se pehle sikhni zaruri hai. He says, before you tread this path of suluk, you want to reach Allah Ta'ala. Before you want to go to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, learn these aspects of namaz first. This is more necessary. Humne ihtiyatan isliye likh diya ke baaz zakir shaghil hazrat ko iski taraf khususi tawajju nahi hoti. He says, this we just wrote as a precautionary measure. Because many people, they involve in zikr, they making zikr. Spiritual exercises they involve in. They want to fly to Allah Ta'ala. He says, but they don't even pay attention to this. They don't know the faraiz of wudu, the faraiz of ghusl, the faraiz of namaz. These things they don't know, the wajibat, the mustahabbat, the sunan. They don't know this, but they giving all the time in zikr and spiritual exercises. This is more important. First, pay attention to this. Unhi maskura bala faraiz wa wajibat, sunan wa mustahabbat ka namaz ke har rukan mein dhyan rakhna namaz mein dil ki huzuri kehlati hai. We want presence in namaz. The heart must be present. He says, in every posture of salah, if a person he pays attention that this is faraz in this posture, or this posture is faraz, or this posture is wajib, this is sunnat, this is mustahab. He says, if you're just conscious of that, this is what is called consciousness in namaz and concentration in salah. If you're in a standing posture, and at that time your mind goes to this, that the standing posture is faraz in namaz. So for that one moment you said this is faraz, it went to your mind that this is faraz in namaz. Says that is concentration in salah. If a person, he went in the tashahud posture, and now he was reading at-tahiyyat in the first tashahud, and he said reading of at-tahiyyat is wajib in namaz. So he says this is concentration, because your mind went towards what was wajib in namaz. So concentrating on what is faraz in namaz, what is wajib in namaz, what is mustahab in namaz, etc. He says if a person does this, he's attained concentration in his salah. So how important it is that we learn this. We should ask ourselves, that how many of these things do we know? The faraiz of namaz, mustahabbat, wajibat, do we know these things? So it's never too late to learn. We can always learn, and we always learn. We're learning all the time. Jis ki ahmiyat, Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi ne bayan farmaya, which Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned. Aur namaz mein huzur qalb ka yahi matlab hai. He says that in namaz, for the heart to be present, this is the meaning of it. Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi ne bhi bayan farmaya, which Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi, very very great buzrug, and he was the reviver of deen in the second 1,000 years of Islam. So he also mentioned the same thing. He removed many many bid'at that were amongst the people. Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullahi removed those bid'at. So he also mentioned the same thing. He says, what is that the heart is present in namaz? He says, it's this that a person knows what is faraz, what is wajib, what is mustahab in namaz, and in salah his mind goes towards these things, that is concentration in salah. So he says, one of the khulafa of this Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullahi, he has written it down. He says that after hamd and salah, he says, janna chahiye, khuda tumko seedha raasta dikhaye, that you should know Allah Ta'ala keep you on the straight path, ke namaz ka mukammal hona, aur iska kamal, فقیر کے نزدیک اس کے فرائض و واجبات اور سنن و مستحبات کا ادا کرنا ہے. He says, according to this servant, Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi, what a great buzrug, he is saying, he says, according to this servant, he says that the perfection and the completion of salah is that a person, he discharges that which is faraz, wajib, sunan and mustahabbat. جس کو کتب فقہ میں تفصیل سے بیان کر دیا گیا ہے. This has been mentioned in the kitab of fiqh, what is wajib, what is faraz, what is mustahab, etc. ان چار امور کے علاوہ اور کوئی امر ایسا نہیں ہے جس کو نماز کی تکمیل میں کوئی دخل ہو. It says, besides these four things, the faraiz, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat, besides these four things, he says, there is absolutely nothing else which contributes to the completion and the perfection of salah. your completion and your perfection of salah is in these four things. That you should know what are the faraiz, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat. Khushu unhi charo umur mein mundarij hai. Concentration, khushu is an internal quality, where a person is connected to Allah Ta'ala. So he says this khushu, this is also included in these four things. Or khudu inhi umur se wabasta hai. And khudu, where the outward limbs of a person are all in order. So he says khudu also, it is connected to these four things. So everything that a person, his salah, whether it is the outward aspect of salah, whether it is the inward aspect of salah, according to Ajid Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi, he also says that it is connected to these four aspects, the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, and mustahabbat.